Reset Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
I'm gonna make it. Dream me down. and welcome back. You are listening to Reset Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And this is Community Voice. I am Mariana, and here today in the studio we have...
Juliana.
Asu.
And we were actually supposed to be continuing on a topic that we covered last time, microfinance, but the people who were supposed to interview were unable to come, so that's sad. But it's okay. We've still got some important things to cover, and one of them is a very important day that's coming up tomorrow, actually, is Anzac Day.
Yeah, so Anzac Day is a national day of remembrance in Australia and New Zealand, and it pretty much commemorates all Australians and New Zealanders who served and died in all wars, conflicts, and peacekeeping operations. So it's pretty much like a contribution and a memorial for everyone who has died in the wars or battles for peace, you know?
Yeah.
And the official representation of that day is poppy flower.
Oh, yeah, I see the little badges that people sell all around Auckland. They have little buckets for donations, and then if you donate some money for Anzac, then they give you a little badge, which is quite
cute. It's called the Remembrance Poppy, and it is an unofficial flower that has been used since 1921 to commemorate the war dead. And the first Anzac Day parade was... in Sydney on April 25th in 1916. So it's every year on April 25th in New Zealand and in Australia. It is Anzac Day.
Yeah. So the way we celebrate it is many New Zealanders attend parades and ceremonies to commemorate on Anzac Day. And they involved return services personnel wearing their medals while marching behind banners. And Defence Force members, CAIDS, and youth organisations also join in the parade.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if we're having a parade in Auckland, but I just don't know.
I think in some, you know, some people, they go to cemeteries and they put poppy seeds, or not seeds, sorry, flowers, onto the graves of soldiers who died.
Oh, yeah, that's a very nice way to remember. I personally think that it's very important to remember the people that died in the war because many of them didn't get any recognition.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole thing that with war and soldiers, we're studying in English right now, how people gave their lives because they thought it was glorious and heroic. But actually were used just like nothing because they had so many people to just send out to die in the front lines.
And what's also even more sad is so all the soldiers that went into the war and everyone who died, they got an official letter to their families, you know, explaining how they died and that they served with honor and they thank the families for like the service of their children.
So was that in... Is that what happened in New Zealand?
No. So it happens with every war. And for those soldiers, it was very popular with Britain in World War One. All the soldiers who, you know, didn't really respect the authorities much, or who in their eyes were like... naughty, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, I understand what you mean.
They held execution parties.
Oh.
And they didn't get, like, they didn't send out official letters. They had, like...
Oh, so they just had them murdered.
Yeah, with the soldiers that came back from the war when the war finished, they would just tell the people in the town that, you know, they were executed. They didn't have enough respect to actually tell people why were they executed, which was, very unreasonable death, you know, because there was a book that I had to read last year. It's based on real events. It's Charlie Peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a character who went off to war with his brother. And he was executed for a reason, because when they went off to fight, he stayed behind to look after the wounded, so that he they wouldn't die, obviously. So he waited for the hospital to come and, you know, for medical support. And the, you know, the officers thought that he was being disrespectful and not disobeying, like, not obeying their orders.
So they
executed him. So, and it's, like, millions of people who died this way.
That's horrible. So,
yeah, Anzac Day really brings out not only, like, everyone who was written down in history as a soldier who went to fight, but also everyone who lives in the memory of, you know, being as a lost child.
Yeah. We've studied some weapons that were used in World War One specifically, because we were looking at a poet. Sorry, well, I think his name is Wilfred Owen. Owen is his last name, definitely. And he wrote a poem describing a gas attack. And it's honestly horrible. And the reason I thought of him is because he was writing poetry as a soldier who's went to war, and he was describing war how it actually was, rather than and actually calling out propaganda and calling the war a game and making it seem like fun and glory, but actually speaking the truth and telling the horrors and the absolute terror of war and how traumatizing and terrifying it is. So he was sent to a hospital saying that he had shell shock and didn't, and like unclear mind, so he was speaking random things that he didn't even know. So because the government didn't like what he was saying, the things he told people.
The people who survived the war, who went through the whole experience, it really damages you as a person. The war was just, it's so traumatizing to see people get killed, to kill others, to experience these gas attacks.
Definitely.
And, like it said in the article, the people who got medals, like everyone who survived the war, they're basically also honored for, you know, fighting. And it also says that women and, like, you know, the families of the soldiers who died and who survived, they're also being honored as, you know, for the great loss that they experienced.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. As a nation, we turn our thoughts to all those who have served the country in war, conflict, and peacekeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at this time of last year, New Zealand was in lockdown. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we were so moved, you know, when to see the spirit of the Anzac Day was still shining through, when, you know, everyone of, a lot of New Zealanders were, you know, at this day came in front of their homes, listening to the dawn service. It was testament that Anzac Day is about the best in us, you know, and endurance and compassion, of course.
Yeah. It's the war is war changes people. Whether people are part of it, they fight in the war as soldiers, or they live through a war in their homes, it still affects everyone, and it leaves nothing good behind. And people are not supposed to kill each other. It's mentally harmful. You're hurt and traumatized if you kill a person. So I'm amazed at just how much power propaganda holds, that it can convince someone that killing another human being is for a good cause and a good reason.
Yeah.
That's just scary to think about.
Yeah.
But let's have a music break now, and we will come back with another topic, and stay tuned.
Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, I'm on my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so left but she's right though. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, I'm on my mind. She'll make you curse, but see your blessing. She'll rip your shirt within a second. You'll be coming back for seconds. With your pain, you just can't help it. Oh, now you'll play along.
turns you on, you'll be saying no, no, then saying yes, 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 cause you're messing with your head. Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm on my, out my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so left but she's right. And they see yeah, people say run, don't walk away. Yeah, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm out of my mind. So someone said, don't drink her potions. She kiss your neck with no emotion. When she's mean, you know you love it. She tastes so sweet, don't sugarcoat it. No, no, you'll play along. Let her lead you on. You'll be saying no, 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 no. Then saying yes, 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 cause you're messing with your head. Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm out of my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so let but she's right though. At night she's screaming, I'm out of my mind. Yeah, we got them kind of crazy. She's poison but tasty.
I'll be down to die.
Reset Radio, brought to you by ARCC and Planet FM 104.6, and we are back from our music break, and we were talking about Anzac Day.
Today and tomorrow and also on Monday.
Yeah.
This is going to be a long weekend, but let's not forget all the sacrifice that the armed forces have done for this country.
Yeah, important to remember.
And 2021 marks two special anniversaries. It is 70 years since the Battle of Kaiping in the lead-up of Anzac Day in 1951. And we take this chance to acknowledge all the New Zealanders who served in the Korean War. And we also want to give special acknowledgement to the New Zealander role in peacekeeping in 1951. And yeah, New Zealand made its first contribution to a multinational peacekeeping operation as part of United Nations effort to resolve the conflict over Kashmir. And in 2021, we marked 70 years of our nation's contribution to peacekeeping and efforts around the world. So I hope many of us will take a moment to reflect the meaning on the Anzac Day, and to acknowledge the tragedy of each and every life lost as a result of service overseas. And let us not forget the impact on loved ones, parents, children, siblings, partners, friends, because New Zealand's military history is their story too. Let us share with all who have served our country and all who continue to serve our recognition and respect as we gather together to remember on this most special day. Happy Anzac Day.
Happy Anzac Day. And also this week we have had a chance to get a sit around with MP Abraham from Hamilton.
Wellington.
From Wellington. And the topic was about forced migrant community. So Asif actually was there, so he can answer some questions and tell us about more about that. So when did the Honourable MP visit ARCC and what was the agenda?
Yeah, it was yesterday, so I just came to the office and my boss actually told me that today we are having an MP came over there, and I was so excited, you know.
That was a nice surprise probably. I'm like, ooh, today I'm going to have a nice sit around.
Yes, you know, I've got so many questions to ask and a lot of things that we're going to need to talk about. Yeah, so it was just today. So Honorable Ibrahim came from Wellington, and he was actually with his team. And yeah, so the topic mostly we covered about forced migrant community, and he acknowledged that the forced migrants are facing a lot of challenges when they came to the country, and he also said that the system that is at the moment we're dealing with refugee is not the working the way we want to be, because let's not forget the Honorable MP Ibrahim was also once a refugee and a forced migrant. And yeah, it's really good to see, you know, someone from the forced migrant community going to the government and raising about the forced migrant issue, because a lot of the time about forced migrant and former refugee, the topic is just left about. And it was good, you know, to have him here and talk and discuss and let us know what is going on with the coroner, because, you know, ARCC is a community organization. So he came right to us and asked my boss Aban about he needs his help, you know, to raise some question about what's going on and what is this. And Aban actually replied in a very good way. So he said, "You want to help us and we want to help you, so in that way we can help each other." So yeah, that was a very good thought that he said. So and also he acknowledged that most of the time when we go to the community and we ask them, how can we help you? And this is the first time he said that, how can we, the community also helps you. Yep. So that was a good gesture as well.
That's nice, yeah. And is there anything government is doing about family reunions?
Yeah, that's a very controversial topic. It is. Yes, so the Honorable MP said that half of his emails that he received is about family reunion or partnership cases that he received. That's a huge number. You know, if you're receiving 50,000 emails and 25,000 emails is about, you know, family reunion you know, about the partnership visa.
That's a lot of emails to get through,
Yeah. And also he's talk about that one of his community, there is a lady, and the immigration declined her visa, her husband's visa, from 8 years. And every time when she goes back to her country, she spends some time and then come back again, and the immigration just declines again. And she has kids now. And she is actually, you know, raising their kids as a single mom, even though his kids, her kids has a dad as well, but it's been long 8 years, and still every time when something happens and they just say that you're not spending enough time, how a New Zealander cannot spend time overseas, you know, when you have your work here. So if he goes overseas and spend like a year, she's gonna lose her job, she's gonna lose her home, and her kids' future will definitely get in the jeopardy as well. So yeah, so that's you know, we talked about and how we can, you know, make things better, especially for host migrant community. You know, like when we talk about host migrant community, mostly we are very, you know, stick with our culture and our values.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so a lot of things happens because most of the time from forced migrant communities, I would say 80% of the time, we are doing culturally arranged marriages, because, you know, we are still connected with the culture, we still respect the values that where we came from. And yeah, and when this thing happens here, and sometime New Zealand does not, you know, recognize it, because immigration all the time raises a question, we do not think that you guys are in a genuine and stable relationship, because, you know, they would ask, like, how can anyone, you know, spend just 1 month together and then come back, and, you know, and they said we are married. From their point perspective, I do respect that, but they need to acknowledge and respect our values and culture as well.
Yeah.
Because you know, New Zealand is a free country to practice all the religion, their culture. So
yeah
this point in 2020, Honorable Prime Minister did talk about and did try to resolve the problem when they started accepting culturally arranged marriages with visitor visa. Actually, at that time, PM really did help with that. And in, I think it was September, or I think it was October, when the new, you know, regulation came into place, and a lot of not only forced migrant, also migrant family reunited with cultural arranged marriage visitor visa. And government does send, you know, there are few thousand people who would have got their visa if they if that regulation came into place first. So a lot of them, they received invitation to apply again, and a lot of them got their, you know, visa. But then in March 25th, 2020, the borders got closed. And yeah, again, the partners and the families still, you know, connected by heart and, you know, disconnected by borders.
Yeah. Also, was there anything mentioned about, because I know it's a real struggle with language barriers.
Yes.
Is there anything done to help force migrants to learn English, or to help them know their way around?
Yes, actually, and that's actually the MP talks about as well, because he talks about two challenges that mainly forced migrant faces when they come to the country. There are so many challenges, of course, they face, but the main one is, one of them is the employment one, and the second one was the immigration. So in the employment, there are so many issues, like, first of all, the language is a very big barrier. And he talks about having a sit together with big CEOs, or he wants to propose some ideas how we can get better, you know, better resettlement system for the refugee, because it was clear that the structure that is on for the forced migrant community for the resettlement program that we're running is not running well. It is still running, but it's not running as the government or the community wants it to be run, you know, for all the so he said that it takes the immigration gives the record, like, it takes for 90% refugees to get a full-time employment, it takes them 1 to 5 years' time.
Yeah.
So that's a big, you know, time lapse. So 5 years is a long time for anyone to, you know, to get a full-time job. So for 90%, they are getting a full-time job. After 5 years, they're coming to the country. That's a big challenge. So definitely he has some plans, you know, to propose to the government as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Asif. That was really lovely to hear about what is being done for the forced migrants, because it's a really big thing right now and quite sad. Yeah, and we will have a music break now, and stay tuned. What?
I wanna go to school tomorrow, I can study. Thinking about you, and you know I always do. I don't wanna go to sleep tonight when I can stay up. Thinking about you, and you know I always do. Marlboro night. to school tomorrow, I'm too tired. I don't want to go to sleep tonight, I'll see the fire. We had too many
for listening to Reset Radio, brought to you by ARCC and Planet FM 104.6. This was Mariana, Oleana, and Isif, and we are now going to finish with Harry Styles' Golden. Thank you. See you next week, same time.
Because I'm so open.
Santiago de Cuba tiene por orgullo y tradición. Santiago de Cuba tiene por orgullo y tradición que toda su mercancía se detalla por pregón. Que toda su mercancía se detalla por pregón. Óigame pregonar la vianda que traigo aquí. Traigo yuca, berenjena y mazorca de maíz. Traigo yuca, berenjena y mazorca de maíz. Santiago de Cuba tiene por orgullo y tradición. Santiago de Cuba tiene por orgullo y tradición que toda su mercancía se detalla por pregón. Que toda su mercancía se detalla por pregón. Óigame pregonar la vianda que traigo aquí. Traigo yuca, berenjena y mazorca de maíz. Traigo yuca, berenjena y mazorca de maíz. También llevo
harina de maíz criolla.
Hay harina de maíz criolla.
Harina de maíz criolla.
Mami, traigo yuca y berenjena.
Harina de maíz criolla.
Traigo tamalito fresco.
Harina de maíz criolla.
Hay tomatico de ensalada.
Harina de maíz criolla.
Ahí traigo lechuguita fresca.
Harina de maíz criolla.
Cariño, asómate a la ventana.
Harina de maíz criolla.
Mira para que ponga la olla.
Harina de maíz criolla.
Tiemi mua
concludes our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.plantaudio.org.nz/resetradio.